CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
All Things Covered listeners and All Things Covered viewers. Oh, by the way, I can't forget, most importantly for this show, Steeler Nation, stand up. Yes, on this episode, no other than 2021 first round draft pick, 2021 Pro Bowler Najee Harris is joining us here. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden, an outstanding, entertaining conversation as he gets geared up for his second training camp with the aforementioned Pittsburgh Steelers. Road to seven starts right now. Stay tuned. Najee, let's start in the beginning, right? Coming out of high school, you was the best running back in all of high school football. Of course, your talent, your production, you ended up going to Florida. I'm sorry, not Florida State. Let's do that over.
Florida State.
Let's do that one over.
Oh, damn. What?
Yeah, I got Florida State. We didn't even stand a chance. Did we stand a chance?
Oh, you went to Florida State?
Yeah, I went to Florida State. Yeah, I got my jersey. That's my jersey. College jersey back there. Now I got the Steeler joint right there.
Yeah, we played y'all my freshman year. That was like my first college game.
In Atlanta.
I had what's the guy from the Chargers? Darwin James?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a really good team. And y'all lost, of course. But, I mean, like, that when you was playing, they was good as hell.
No question.
What happened now? Man, after Jimbo left, I think. I don't know.
Man, you know how it is. When you got a head coach and you let a good head coach leave, you don't know what direction you might go.
Yeah.
Remember, Bama was trash before they got Saban. You don't
were
remember
they?
That?
Yeah, no, were that. They?
Yeah, because I didn't even take – they were trash. Before Saban got there, Bama was trash. I didn't take a trip to Alabama.
Like, oh, yeah, because I guess they got good around 09. Is that what it was?
Before Saban's second year is what turned the corner.
I played against Saban my rookie year. Right?
They were 6-7.
Yeah.
7 years. So I played against Saban when he was at Dolphins my rookie year. 07 was his first year at Alabama, I think.
I tell you what, I didn't know nothing about Alabama football, to be dead ass honest with you. I was more of a USC, the real USC, not South Carolina, Southern California. I was more of them type of fan. You know what I mean? I really didn't know nothing about Alabama. It's not until like I really start saying like I start getting offers. And I was like, oh man, I could pick now. I didn't know I was gonna get that much offers, but and then I looked into Alabama and I saw man, that's the best competition over there in SEC. So I was like, oh, okay, bet. Well, let me go there.
Well, I can tell you this much. In 2003, Alabama was 4-9.
I mean, 2003.
So head coach then.
I was born in 1998.
Yeah, you was a jit. You was a legit jit then. So in 2003, I was a junior. Mike Shula was the head coach then. You probably even remember Mike Shula, right?
No, I know Mike Shula.
That's what I'm saying. So when I came out of high school in 2000, I was the number one corner in America. I didn't even think about going to Alabama.
Yeah.
It's different now. It's different now because of guys like yourself and other guys who came before you that went through Tuscaloosa and just left their footprints there forever. One thing I want to highlight. Go ahead. What'd you say?
I said, I'll tell you what, it's more different now because now you get paid. So now it's even more different.
Hey, could you imagine if you were in Alabama right now?
Yeah, that would have been crazy, dog. These folks is getting, I mean, I'm happy for them too, but listen, my 2017 class at Alabama, I mean, Saban said it. He said, like, you know, we're probably the best recruiting class he had. And, like, you know, he said that us and maybe Julio Jones class.
So, I wanted to ask you about that. I'm glad you brought that up. So for our listeners and our viewers who might not remember exactly was in your 2017 class. So get this, guys and girls who are checking us out on YouTube and listening to us on your podcast platform. That class that Najee is referring to, they had eight first rounders. They had a Heisman Trophy winner. And I think you had three other Heisman finalists. So the first rounders were Tua, Wills, Ruggs, Judy, Smith, Jones, Leatherwood, and Najee. And in totality, y'all had 17 draft picks. So I'm asking you this, and there's a lot you can kind of digest with this topic, but do you think that 2017 class from Alabama was the best recruiting class ever?
Oh, ever?
Ever. You had 17 get drafted, you had eight first rounders, and you had a Heisman winner, and you had three other Heisman finalists.
Wasn't you talking about during the U, with like when the U was around too?
I'm talking about, as long as you was born in 98, so I know your college memory don't go back as far as mine or some other football fans, but as long as you remember, when you look at going back to the Miami days, you know, some of the guys that were part of prolific recruiting classes, you know, even SC, you know, as you say, the real SC, Southern California, when you look at some of the other blue blood universities, your 2017 class, I mean,
yeah, we match up. I think we match up to them. I think we match up to all like the top recruiting classes. But I feel like that's a question that could be answered maybe like three more years down the line. Because how I see it is like, yeah, we did good in college, but I want to see if that translates over to the NFL. And because Miami, like, you know, they had, I don't know what class was Frank Gore and Ray Lewis and all, and Ed Reed and all them boys, and Clinton Porters when they had all them boys.
They all weren't in the same class, though.
They weren't in the same class?
Like, Frank Gore was younger than Clinton Porters. Frank Gore was younger than McGahee. And, of course, you know, Ray was older than all of them. The unique thing about your class, Najee, all you guys signed together. All of us is in it.
I don't know about who was all in other clubs, but I would say all of, like we was for surely the top. I mean, you know, it was, like you said, it was me, Ruggs, Judy, Smitty, Mac Jones, Tua, Alex Leatherwood, Jedrick Willis.
Xavier McKinney was in that class.
Xavier McKinney, you had Dylan Moses.
Yes.
You had the first round is this year. We had Phil. He went to the Reds. We had Lincoln out.
It was 17. It was a total of 17.
It was a lot of us.
I'm gonna tell you like this, in my personal opinion, like I said, my football mind goes back further than yours because I'm older. But when I think about guys who signed together that balled on the collegiate level and then went on and got drafted high, I don't think there's another class. I don't think so. For our historians that are checking us out, if you feel like there's a class that's better than this 2017 class, put it in our comments. Let us know what you think. But I think personally, I think your class, and think about this, Najee. How many of those guys are starting in the National Football League? You start, Tua, everyone.
I think all of them, man.
That's the thing. All you guys are starting, playing significant time for the respectable organization.
But I'll tell you this. I remember back in practice when we all came in, bro, it was times where they told us, like, our twos is better than our ones. And twos is all freshmen. It was all us. Like, twos, we were scrimmaging. They were like, man, but the twos is better than the ones, goddammit. So it wasn't
all until, the ones.
It wasn't until like everybody in the world country knew until we played Georgia in the championship game and they threw in like me, Tua, Judy, Smitty,
Smith,
Devontae Smith, it was Dylan Moses, Jedrick. You had like damn near like already them 17 people playing rookie year in that national championship game. We came back and won with freshmen.
With freshmen. And if you guys don't make that change, y'all probably don't win that championship with playing the freshmen that you mentioned.
Yeah.
That's a wild story. Talking about a championship, describe what Nick Saban is like after winning a national championship. You won two with him.
Yeah. how is he like after a championship? You know, he, you know, obviously he's excited, but you know, I tell you what, bro, it's all fun and games. It's fun, you know. We won, we finished the year. I remember we went undefeated my last year, you know, but man, I went to win the office. I was talking to one of the coaches and it was like, well, I guess we gotta go back to recruiting. So like after we won, they went back to recruiting and everybody went on the visits and stuff. Like it never happened though. You know what I mean? And everybody just went right back to work. You know what I mean? We just, all you see is pictures and it's just memories now. After that day's over, you know, it's a 24-hour rule. You just enjoy the win for 24 hours and then you're right back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So like he won and then the next day he went straight to the drawing board and was thinking about, you know, how can you bring players in and what can you do better next year, even if we went undefeated.
Wow. I mean, that's why he's been so successful. You know, short-term memory when it comes to celebrating, let's get back to the task at hand, which is winning and competing for championships. One thing I'd like to, you know, hit you with, your draft party was unlike anyone else's party I ever seen. You know, for you guys don't know the story, Najee spent his draft night at a homeless shelter where you spent some time growing up. What did you think about that moment? You know, what did you think about that particular moment? And what did that moment mean to the people that was there for you?
I mean, with that moment, my idea was that was just, you know, always trying to give back to people, especially people who helped me out when I didn't have nothing. So it was hard to help them out when I was in college because the NCAA rules, they trying to, you know, it was dumb, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. The stuff that I couldn't do because I wasn't trying to profit off of nothing. I was just trying to give them stuff, but you had to go through all these guidelines, do all these things. So I was kind of upset that I couldn't help nobody out. Because of I was in NCAA and stupid ass rules they had placed upon the players. But after I was done with NCAA, I went back to there, and you know I was doing little things here and there, giving food, you know, doing the stuff I can. I was seeing some of the stuff you guys went renovated, and then I was like, yeah, I got a draft party. It's gonna be in Oakland, and then I was talking. And I was like, oh, okay, that'll be cool. Maybe you guys can bring some of the kids. And they was like, nah. Oh, then it was COVID time too. So it was something with COVID and then there was like, mm-hmm. you know, transportation and all that stuff. And it was a busy time. So I was like, all right, well, maybe it'll be cool if we have it here or we can do something here. And, you know, they said that was a good idea. So I proceeded with that plan and had my own little, I had like kind of two draft parties in Oakland in there. But the thing mm-hmm. about there is I did not want it to make it be socialized on social media off the fact that I didn't want, you know, it's people who live there. Like when I was there, like I didn't want, it was a tough time for me. So I didn't want to be on social media and all that. So I didn't have no cameras, no nothing here. I didn't want it to be like nothing. I mean, I just wanted it to be just for them to, you know, have some food there, you know, watch, just have a little party. I mean, and then I guess, I don't know how it came out, but some people was like, I guess some people hit them up, some news stations and was like, and they called me, the people at Grip was like, you know, Najee, there's some news stations I want to be here. And I was like, nah, I was like, nah, don't do that. I want to make sure it's okay with the people there. And they was like, we're fine. We actually want it. It'll actually help us out with donations and you know, just, and help us with people donating stuff. I was like, you sure? I was like, just make sure you double check with everybody in the building. So I came back to me the next day and they double checked. They said, it's all good. And I called KP. I was like, that's one of my good friend, my good friends. And then I was like, what you think, KP? You think we should do this? And he was like, yeah, man. So all media, you know, is good media for this. So I was like, all right, cool. Man, I came there, man, before the draft. Man, it was a goddamn press conference. It was hella goddamn people there. I was like, it was ESPN. It was Overtime, Bleach Report, goddamn the KTV Channel 2 News. It was this news station. I was like, bro, they had a goddamn podium for me to talk to. I'm like, bro, what the hell? Yeah. I was like, bro, are y'all cool with all this? They was like, yeah. They were like, yeah, yeah.
Wow. So someone leaked the information and that's how it became like a media special.
Well, I guess one news station told another news station or something. And then I already had media with me. So my media came because they was doing my other draft party. And then ended up being hella people there, bro. It was hella people, fans too. I'm like, what the hell? Like, I didn't even know it was Alabama fans in California. It was people with Alabama jerseys on. Like, what the heck?
Man, but that definitely was a cool experience. You know, you one of one when it comes to, you know, having your draft party in a place you don't usually see. And I'm pretty sure the people that were there, the facility you used, definitely were very, very thankful for that consideration and that thought becoming a reality. But take us through the call. I remember how my experience was when the Steelers called me, you know what I mean? But for you in the first round, with a lot of experts and analysts feeling like the Steelers would target a running back, how was your call? Who was the first voice you heard on the opposite end of the phone? Was it Mike T? Was it Kevin Colbert? Who was it?
Who was the first person on the Steelers, or who's the first person to congratulate me?
On the Steelers. Like, when you answered the phone, who voice was it?
It was Mike Tomlin's voice.
Okay. How was that experience?
It was funny, though. I tell you this, though. I talked to Snoop Dogg before I talked to the Steelers.
You say what?
I talked to Snoop Dogg before I talked to the Steelers.
How's that?
I do not know. He congratulated me before the Steelers.
Wait a minute. Bro. Snoop called you first?
I kid you not, bro. Snoop, I think, because he's cool with my agent, and he's like, hey, it's Snoop Dogg. It's like, Snoop Dogg? It's like, oh, what's up, bro? Because, you know, Snoop was a big Steelers fan. And, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. This big hunk, Snoop. Me and Snoop pretty cool now. But, yeah, man, I mean, congratulate me. Then I talked to Mike Tomlin. Then I couldn't hear him, right? Couldn't hear him because my damn family kept yelling. They was all drunk as hell off of Patrinacy. If you have Patrinacy, don't do it. You know, black folks, they always come up with something crazy. You know, Patron and Hennessy, that was all faded, right? So I was like, hey, calm down. I'm trying to hear him. They hung up with me. Still is,
huh?
Still is hung up with me.
Man, stop. Are you serious?
I swear, but they hung up on me. I was like, God damn, I told y'all to be quiet. And it was all, so I had to walk out. They're like, Najee, like, can you hear? I was like, yeah. I was like, my fault. I was like, oh. But somebody act like you don't know. And then Mike T, you know, like, somebody act like you don't know who this is, blah, blah. And, I had to do press interviews and stuff like that. But it was a fun night, man. I tell you what, though, not saying I didn't expect it, but, you know, I'm glad off that, you know, the Steelers organization selected a running back in the first round. Because, you know, there's people saying, you know, I was the worst pick, you know, running back should be picked in the first round. You know, you mm-hmm. can't really, you know, it's not a good investment, stuff like that. But, you know, for the Steelers, you know, Mr. Rooney, Colbert, Mike T, you know, and everybody in the building to agree on, like, you know, we're going to select this running back in the first round. And, you know, and I appreciate that. And I would always show appreciation and respect the organization just about the fact that they did something like that to trust me to trust the running back too, you know? So yeah. I always thank them for that. You know, I won that rookie award.
Joe Green Award.
Yep. And I just gave another appreciation for them. Just about the fact that they trusted me and being that guy.
Yeah. And talking about your rookie campaign, man, you jumped into a prominent role in the NFL much quicker than you did in college. How did Bama and the SEC prepare you to make an impact right away as a pro?
Well, I don't think you can say college did that. You know, mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, it comes down to the player. You know, it's how much the player wants to be good. It's how much will does a player have. You know, does this player want to be that type of guy? Because there's a lot of guys, you know, who had the same thing in college and they didn't translate to the NFL. You know what I mean?
True.
Just because of the fact that, I guess, you know, I don't think it's so much organizations. It just comes down to the player. At the end of the day, it's how good you want to be. So, you know, Alabama shaped me a lot in ways that, you know, I learned more of the X's and O's of football blocking. You know, how important blocking is for a running back. You know, I didn't really have a running back coach until college. So, you know, me learning all that stuff, you know, saving, you know, I used to go to the office a lot and tell Saban, you know, what's some things I need to work on. And, you know, he'll pull up some film and then he'll break it down to me and all this stuff. Every year, every year I'll go to Saban and be like, what's some things I need to work on? Because Saban watches, he watches all tons of film on us. So, you know, for me to do that and for me to go to NFL and, you know, they place that burden on me to be like, you know, the guy and to be the vocal point of the offense. I appreciate that, man. That's something I wanted even in college, but I know, you know, we had that good team, so we didn't need to do that. But you know, Ben leaving, you know, we knew that, and there was retirements that we didn't know about that was going to happen with the O line. So it was a new O line. It was a new team. You know, we were shaping a new team. So all that stuff that happened, I was happy that I could have been that guy.
Yeah. And you only played with, you mentioned Big Ben, you played with Big Ben only 1 year, but what did you learn from him in that one season?
What did I learn?
Is there anything that you picked up on or the conversations you guys had in your rookie campaign that can, you know, follow you throughout your professional career?
And the conversations we had was more of so much of like conversations we don't need to get discussed. How about that?
Hey, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. This is a unexpected question because at the time no one thought it was a big deal, but now it's kind of a big deal with the unexpected news. You know, how does it feel knowing that you were the last Steeler to score a touchdown in Heinz Field?
Yeah, man, that was dope.
Do you still have the football?
Yeah, I do. I got to find out which one. What was it?
You got to get that payment. You got to get that payment.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, man, I got a pretty cool man cave with all the footballs and stuff. I got to find out which one is it though, and maybe I could sell that ball for a lot though, huh? Ooh, that's a good prop right there. I could sell that ball for some change, huh, my boy? I would say, look at this, the last Heinz Field touchdown ball, 50,000 off rip right now.
No question. No question.
50 bands.
No question. And speaking of
make sure you put that on your podcast. Actually, say Najee selling his football.
That's what we're going to do.
Touchdown, yeah, for 50,000 starting off.
That's what we're going to do.
Start a bidding war.
It's going to be a big time bidding war just with Steeler fans alone.
Yeah, I need to pay some bills anyways.
How you feel? Do you play Madden at all?
No.
You heard about your rating?
I'm
What you think about your rating?
Like I tell people, man, just kids have fun. You know what I mean? But
you know a lot of adults play it too, right?
Adults have fun too. Goddamn, everybody have fun.
Can I say what you don't want to say?
Let me vent here, actually.
I wasn't
tripping at first until, because I'm like, oh man, like it's whatever. Like, I'm more worried about the season. But then I had to come back and be like, hold the hell up. They didn't even put me in the top 10 for breaking tackles. God damn it, I broke hella tackles. Oh, can you see my eyes? I broke hella tackles.
We see
that goddamn year. And they didn't put me in the top 10.
And you stiffed arm a whole lot of people.
Man, stiff arm. Even against the Vikings, when I had to break five tackles to get 1 or 2 yards for the first down, I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, man, so, like.
Let me read the list off for.
You know who's doing these Madden ratings? People who never played football.
All right. So correct. Your final rating was like, was it in the high 70s or low 80s?
I didn't think so. Huh?
What it was? Because the top. Okay. So Derrick Henry had 97, Christian McCaffrey 96, Nick Chubb 96, Jonathan Taylor 95, Cook 94, Mixon 93, Kamara 90, Aaron Jones 89, Austin Eckler 88, Zeke Elliott 88, Josh Jacobs 87, Leonard Fournette 87, Kareem Hunt 86, Saquon Barkley 86.
They gave Saquon Barkley 86?
Yeah.
And they kept
you had 85.
And they kept Christian McCaffrey at, damn.
Christian McCaffrey at 96.
And they get Saquon at 80 what?
Yeah, he's ahead of you. They gave Kareem Hunt and Saquon Barkley. They both got 86. You got 85.
Whoa, I ain't gonna lie.
How you feel about that? Could you lower your camera for us a little bit?
Oh, No, you gotta. I think you gotta bump up Saquon. I like Saquon. I'm a Saquon fan. But hey, man, I don't really care about Raiders, to be honest with you.
That's what, I mean, you already motivated, but just a little more motivation for, you know, for the Madden, the Raiders of the Madden game, so they kind of disrespected you, especially with the break tackle.
Yeah, the break tackle thing was kind of an eye opener, but I do not care. I do not care, but to be honest with you, I do not
care. We the true Steelers know your worth. We know your value.
Hey man, yeah, because I don't know, man. There's a lot of disrespect. But I tell you what though, man, because we had it was a tough year for us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Off the fact that, you know, it was a lot of new faces there playing too, offense and defense. And it was a lot of rookies. But what I'm most like, you know, tip my hat off, and you know, I always tell myself that I'll be like, man, no other rookie. And I say this proudly, no other rookie, offensive rookie, kind of had to do what I did. And I was like, kind of have the team rely on you in a way of making points and making plays. Like, you know, you can go anywhere you want. You can go like with, I don't know, who was some top rookies this year, you know?
This past year?
Yeah.
Mac Jones for the Patriots.
Yeah, like Mac Jones is the Patriot, like
Waddle. Heck, I can just get Jamar Chase, like, Devontae Smith.
Yeah. None of them really had to rely on just that one player. You know what I mean? Like there was games when they told me, like, Najee, like, look, bro, you're gonna have to do all this right here. Like, that was some conversations me and Ben had. They said, like, Najee, bro, we're gonna rely on you a lot. So like you need to like if I don't make a good run or something, I'll get cussed out at.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Or like so a lot of stuff had to rely on me. No other rookie, and no matter how well they say, like, I had all these carries, it was like that was a method of us winning. And it was a time where we won like 5 or 6 games in a row when I had 25 plus carries, and when I didn't, you know what I mean, we would lose. That was like the actual thing, statistic. You know what I mean?
And so how was your body? Like, how did your body hold up with the amount of work you had in front of you?
It was good.
You were good.
I ain't nothing. I train every day. I have no life. I train every day. You know what? I'm in the middle of a training right now. Actually, after I'm done with this, I'm not gonna work out on the field right now. I have nothing to do with my life. I train every single day. I probably train too much, but you know that stuff right there of, you know, having that workload on you, it was nothing I haven't had before. Like, I wanted to have more carries, to be honest with you. It doesn't affect me off the fact that I train my body to withstand that type of stuff.
And one thing too, people don't realize, you had so many touches catching the football, running the football with no fumbles.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That's one thing that Alabama, okay, that I'll give Alabama credit for that one. Alabama, you know, they're, if you even Coach Huff, Coach Saban, they will get on me. And anybody, you know, ball carriers, if you guys fumble the ball, then like, you know, it's kind of like, that's the, you could have, they say you could have 230 yards. Oh, that's, I did actually. I had like 248 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 fumble. And they said that 1 fumble will affect, well, they don't care about the game. It affects everything that you did good or anything that you do. That one little fumble. You know what I mean? So at there, Alabama, they take that seriously. Like, you know, if I'm even like walking around with the ball low, or if I'm even like, if I'm going through a hole and it's clogged, and you know what I mean, you got the ball low or you're swinging it out, anything, I'll get in trouble a lot. So, you know, that's just with anybody at Alabama. Yeah. So I took that to the NFL knowing that nowadays people don't tackle the ball carrier. They just tackle the ball, you know, because you got to train yourself to mentally, you know, have good ball security.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing you talked about training, you train all the time. But Najee, how annoying is it to hear your weight be discussed so much by reporters and then they report the wrong weight on you?
Yeah, man, I think they were just bored because Ben retired, so they had nothing to talk about. So somehow it changed to me and my weight. I was like, so they tried to say something like me and Jerome Bettis. But I was like, you know, I was like, damn, like these are fake reporters telling me this too. No, I'm playing. But you know, my weight, I mean, I played at 242 last year. I'm like, I weighed in like at 244 maybe during OTAs. Like, I have no fat. I'm complete, like, my bod pod is there's like, I have the lowest percent of fat. Every year it's the same. So like, there's no fat for me. Mm-hmm. I have just, it's just straight muscle. So, you know, maybe I did take it out of proportion because I look at myself every day, you know, obviously I train. So maybe like, you know, and they haven't seen me in a minute. So maybe they came back and was like, oh, he got kind of bigger. But I was like, you know, I see myself. So maybe they see two different things. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think they'll say it was fat. Did they say I was fat?
Yeah, they was kind of saying that. Yeah.
Oh, they were saying I was fat?
No, I'm just joking. I don't know if they actually said that, but they said you kind of gained some weight. Hey, I like the new face mask, by the way. That's what you're going to rock this season?
My face mask?
The one you had in OTAs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. That's dope. With the black visor?
Nah, I'm going no visor this year.
Are you going no visor?
Strictly business. Yeah, I want to see motherfuckers' eyes.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Sure. And Mike T has, you know, spoken extremely highly about you as a player on and off the football field in regards to the team expectations for this upcoming year. But what are your expectations in year two for you? What do you see yourself getting done?
Yeah, man, me, you know, I need to become more of a vocal leader. You know, I need to speak up more often. I need to have, I need to be more confident in the plays that I'm running. If you know your plays and, you know, you be more confident in things you're doing, you play faster. So I need to do that. I need to, I just need to prove to myself, like, you know, I'm one of the top guys in the NFL for sure. You know what I mean? I already think I am, but, you know, to consistently do that every year, I think that's a challenge that I need to take and uphold, you know, for me to consistently be that type of guy and not just have like 1 year fall off and then come back. You know, I want to have a consistent year when I'm like that type of guy. So, you know, I don't want to lose my hunger. So that's something that's why I train a lot. And you know, that's why this next upcoming year is going to be really important for me because, you know, I think, you know, last year it was kind of like, you know, an appetizer of what I really could become. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that I need to work on. There's a lot of things that I haven't working on. So, you know, I just really just perform it all next year.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I'll probably draft you in fantasy football too. So I'm just throwing that out there. So no pressure.
Hey, man, listen, man, pressure makes diamonds.
No doubt. Last question before we jump to the superlative part of the show. The two quarterbacks on the top two quarterbacks, well, not the top two quarterbacks right now, because Mason is still number two, but you have two new faces at the quarterback position that were not on the team last year, Mitch Trubisky, and of course, first rounder Kenny Pickett. What do you expect from that quarterback battle throughout training camp?
Well, I expect it to be fun to watch. Look, I like a lot of competition. I like boxing. You know, I like one-on-one battles.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in that room is always, there's all type, you know, all type of one-on-one battles, you know, Mason with Mitch, Kenny, you know what I mean? Who throws a better ball? Who's more confident? Who's more calm under pressure? You know what I mean? Who's going to be that guy? And competition brings out the best in all of us. So
no doubt.
I think that during OTAs or during this camp right here, we got Latrobe. Not only are we going to see, but the fans are going to see too. Cause you know, there's going to be a lot of fans there. I heard, I've never been there, but.
Oh yeah. Latrobe going to be, hey, Latrobe going to be nice.
Yeah. I heard it's boring as hell though, but.
It is boring. Matter. It's nothing but football, yeah. But. And fans going to be there every day. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is. Tuesday, you're going to think Steeler fans don't work.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah. But, you know.
Who you think going to come out on top of this quarterback battle?
Shoot. Me? Wildcat?
Wildcat?
That's it. Yeah, me. I think I am.
Oh, you going to think you'll be okay.
I don't know who is, man. Like, I think that Mike T and Canada and all them boys, you know, was going to make a good decision of who could be the guy. But, you know, me personally, I don't know. I don't know because they're in OTAs. It's, you know, there's no pads. Nobody's really flying around like that. But when there is pads on and stuff's happening, you know, Mike T and the defense got their stuff going on. They're disguising all the looks and stuff. I think that's really going to separate one from each other. You know, they're all good guys. They're all good players. But during this camp, when we got pads on and things, and the bullets start flying, then you're going to be like, okay, now that's our guy. And that's not.
Yeah. You can easily see that. You can spot that early, exactly, too.
Yeah. 707 on that during OTAs. It's like, there's nobody blitzing. No, there's no line. So it's like anybody can make a good throw, kind of. You would hope so, because you're NFL quarterbacks. The most you can do is throw a deep ball in the out route with no pressure. I mean, you should be calm the whole time. But it's when the blitz is coming, you got TJ coming up the edge, you got Cam up the middle, you got Tyson, you know what I mean, breaking this guy, you got Devin and everybody blitzing, you got Minka blitzing, you got anybody disguising all these looks, you got this fake, like this cover two look right here, but it's really not. And that safety backs up into the middle, and now it's cover three. Now it's like, okay, now you're reading all of it. Now it's like, all right, that's real football right there. Now let's see who's the guy. You know what I mean?
No doubt, no doubt. All right, before we let you go, we're going to transition to the superlative part of the show. I call this the two-minute drill, right? So for you, offensively, you got to score a touchdown. Can't settle for a field goal to win this ball game. So I'm going to hit you with pressure-like questions. I want your honest, unbiased answer. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Rapid fire. Most hated division rival is who? Who you hate in the division the most? Yeah, the AFC North. Who do you hate the most? You got the Ravens, you got the Browns, you got the Bengals.
Nobody.
Nobody.
No.
You got to hate somebody. You want to hate none of them? You like all of them?
I guess I hate everybody that I play against, right?
No, I'm talking about the AFC North teams who you see twice a year. You don't hate the Bengals, you don't hate the Ravens?
No, I just want to win. I really don't care about none of that stuff. No.
Okay. Well, how was it seeing Cincinnati get to the Super Bowl? Did you like that?
It wasn't me, so no, of course I didn't like it.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you know, I tip my hat off when somebody did something good. You know, they had a good team that year. I tip my hat off, you know what I mean? But when we play each other, I'm trying to win. You know, we was out, they won.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not gonna punch the air and say, damn it. I mean, I'm gonna say, like, all right, man, this is what we need to do. We need to find out a way to get better and beat them next year. Or beat anybody next year. You know what I mean?
Get to where they were.
Exactly.
Okay. And the Super Bowl this year is in Arizona, Glendale.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, because they got a new stadium, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's not new. It's not super new, but of course, you know, it's been out for a minute.
I think after that, it's gonna be in Las Vegas, which is gonna be crazy.
But yeah, why don't you go to the next two?
Yeah, I know.
Why don't you go to the next two? The next two Super Bowls, why don't you go and play them?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got the Bengals first game, so that's all we're worried about.
Yeah. No question. No question. All right. Favorite thing about Steeler fans?
They're crazy as hell. And they love
their
team.
Agreed. Yes.
They're crazy as hell and they love their team. Yeah.
Yes. Best piece of advice you received from Marshawn Lynch?
Save your chicken, nigga.
Okay. All right. Oh, this is a good one for you. Alabama's top three running backs ever.
I'll say Sean Alexander.
Yep.
I broke all the records, huh? So I got to be in there, right?
Yeah,
so
you got to be in there.
Yeah, I broke all the records. Receiving touchdowns, rushing, total touchdowns, total yards. I'm just going to put that out there, though. But Derrick Henry, too, I guess.
Sean, yourself, and Derrick.
Myself.
Sean.
And Derrick, yeah.
Okay, I like that list. All right, last question for you. Craziest thing you heard on a recruiting trip, and was it at UCLA?
You funny as hell. I'm not going to talk about that again. You talking about that Jim Moore stuff?
Yes. Tell us, was that the craziest thing you heard on any of your recruiting trips?
No.
You heard something crazier than that?
I've been around the most crazy stuff you could think of. Like, literally, like, from celebrities to, like, shit on the streets. Like, bro, no, that was not.
Well, okay, so I want to hear the craziest thing, but can you tell us what you heard from Jim Moore on your UCLA visit? Let the fans know.
No.
Our listeners know exactly what he said.
Because somebody brought that up, and that was, like, 5 years ago. Somebody brought that up now. And if people keep tagging me in it, and I hate when people tag me and stuff, I'm not about to talk.
What they were tagging you saying? What they were saying?
I forgot because somebody brought it up, like probably last year, right?
Uh huh.
Yeah, I don't. So I mean, they was saying.
I'm gonna tell them what they said.
Brought up again. I don't know how I got brought up again, but it was during the season. I was kind of like, that's random as hell. Like, the heck? It was the most randomest thing, but.
Well, Jim Moore told Najee he reportedly knows who killed Tupac. Now, I don't know if that was part of the recruiting pitch to kind of get you to go to UCLA, but clearly didn't work. So he the only person that knows who killed Tupac, right, Najee? According to Jim Moore.
Next question.
Well, what's the craziest thing you heard?
What craziest thing I heard?
Yeah, on any of your recruiting trips. You say you got a bunch of stories. What's like the craziest thing you remember?
I don't even think it's legal to say.
Is that crazy?
Of course. What? I wouldn't say it's crazy to me if it's...
It's like, not even legal to say. Well, we're going to let that one be then. Let that lay where it's laying.
Yeah.
Hey, Najee, man, I appreciate you for your time. Forget what Madden is saying. Najee's one of the best running backs in the National Football League. Go ahead and print the T-shirts right now. Two-time national champion, 2021 first-round pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers, 2021 Pro Bowler. You can follow him on Instagram at Najee_Harris and on Twitter at OhThat'sNajee22 on Twitter. And before we let you go, over a month ago, you had your first annual football camp. Tell us a little bit about that experience for you, and is that something you would like to keep going throughout your professional career?
Yeah, man. So last month on the 25th, I had my first camp. It was supposed to be 300 spots, right? And mm-hmm. I got sold out in like the first about 50 minutes, maybe. So end up being 500 kids.
It was
crazy. Yeah, it was 500 kids. So those hella kids who didn't have shirts, they was out there just thugging, which I like, you know, the grind. So, you know, it was a good camp, man. I had all free food there. I had some tacos. My brother had some tacos and my friend.
Where was it located at? Where did you do it at?
Oh, it's in Antioch, California, where I went to high school at.
Gotcha.
Yeah, some food there. We had some guest speakers. My academic advisor from the University of Alabama, she came to speak about, you know, just how important academic is. Nothing about the school. Just about how important academic is. And if you guys got any questions about, you know, what's some courses you need to take to get to college, you know, she was there to talk about that. It was a good tournament. I had some guys. Marshawn was there. Josh Johnson was there. You know, my teammate, Alex Leatherwood, Jerez, it was all there from Alabama. It was a good turnout, man. It was a really, really big turnout. We had some prizes at the end. And, you know, all the kids got home sick.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. And is there any place where, you know, some of the listeners and viewers that are checking us out can, you know, get ready for next year's camp? When that time comes, you have a website, you have information in regards to keeping
updated. Oh, yeah, I have a website. I have a website. It's Najee.net.
Okay.
We got a lot of, some of my clothes are sold there. Actually, all my clothes are sold there. Charity events and events that I have upcoming. But if you guys got me on social media, I post about it a lot. I think I'm going to have one in Pittsburgh. And of course, I'm going to do one back home in California. I just got to find out what's the days I could do it again. I'm trying to do a camp out the country. Like, I went to Mexico for that, for a camp out there, actually, that Play 60, I think it's called. I forgot what it's called. It was the funniest thing I ever had playing with those kids, you know, and they taught me how to play soccer and stuff. I sucked.
They love American football in Mexico, by the way.
Yeah, they do, man. They're shout out to their women's flag football team.
Yeah,
I think they just beat America. They just beat USA.
Wow. Okay.
Man.
That's dope. Well, out of the country experience coming up for Najee, man. So keep everybody in tap with that. You said you might do one in Pittsburgh. Of course, you're always going to keep it in your home state. Najee Harris doing big things, not just on the football field, but off the field as well. First game, Cincinnati. That's the only thing we're worried about right now.
That's the only
starting
thing we're worried about.
1-0. The standard, in the words of Mike Tomlin, the standard is the standard.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Appreciate your time, Najee. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you get back to your workouts so we don't hear any misthrown numbers out about your weight, people saying you overweight and this and that. So I'm going to let you get back to your workout.
All right, man. I'll see you guys at camp. For anybody listening, if you guys show up, I'll see you guys at camp.
Oh, you know, everybody going to show up. You already know that. They're going to be there.
Yes, sir.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.